We're rolling.
Okay, we're rolling. So before I was saying that the website says you don't send it to staying, you send it to the silence, I guess, which is what happened because I sent it to staying and he just sent it back to me, kept the letter that I wrote, but wrapped the money order in like a blank piece of paper. So no response. I just got my money back. Apart from the whole, you know, you, Bob, and all this interesting other shadow side of the Church of the Subgenius, this was just a very bizarre, like, here's me saying, like, I received money from Ivan Stang just now. Like, I thought his whole, you know, the whole church was about this massive tithe machine, and yet he didn't want my money. It just seemed so amazing. Anyway, I posted on that. Basically, I think that what I wrote on the internet, I like it. It speaks for itself. I guess it's good to have this just audio backup that I wasn't, that none of the things that I wrote were, like, lies, really. What it kind of comes down to, in a way, I wanted to swing it back around to, okay, I sent in my money, Stang sent it back, that, was the occasion for a whole bunch more stuff to get said on the net, but okay, I guess I wanted to bring it back to the present, with the idea that that me or we, like five-bodied people or something, are just lackeys for Bob.
Deanies.
That would be
deanies.
Yeah, and
zombies for Bob.
We've kind of fallen into a slot where our meaning in life is to big up you or something now, and so that's what we're doing, and that's the pattern of all kooks, and it's just boring and disgusting, like the Subgenius might say or something. But the thing is that what I'm responding to is last night after I emailed you about when I could call you today, I then went and read Denmu's latest, or Hexbody's latest rant, and he was kind of saying some of the same things, or it seemed like maybe he was responding to me when he was scorning Xenocrony, or just relating these Xenocronies, or that's a lockdown environment, it's not something to celebrate, or I don't know, something like that. But to me, I just want to say, it's worth saying in response to that I consider it to be, like, not even really my place to withhold that kind of information, like, about the kind of thing that happened to me on 4-4, because to me that's pretty crucial. That's not my opinion. That's what really happened. The Toronto Sun really had that on the cover. Like, I really had all these coincidences happen. Like, this is evidence, you know? Like, to me it's not even about what you say. It just makes what you say that much more urgent, perhaps, in some mysterious way. Like, I feel almost like the stories about Xenocrates around you are kind of like the stories of, I don't know, like McLuhan saying to the folks at IBM, like, you know, in the future computers are going to be small, not big. And they're like, what are you, nuts? And like, sure enough, it's true, because it's the kind of thing that you're like, that there was something uncanny about that awareness. Not just interesting thoughts or good food for thought or stimulating, something uncanny there, like that guy knew something that other people didn't.
That's right, yeah.
I feel like it's my duty, like, even though I don't necessarily even want to reveal these Xenocrates sometimes, it's kind of my duty to get on there and be like, look, this happened. Like, there's something a bit fucked up in the relationship between this guy and our whole culture.
I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
You mean this guy being me?
Yeah, yeah.
And our whole culture. I like that. The whole culture. Yes, that
whole
one little
culture.
And don't you feel...
Well, because it bleeds out into, like, the editor of the Toronto Sun and, like,
Free Bob!
Associate Thompson there that I was talking... And his name would be Thompson, too.
Yeah.
And, like, and Zappa, and, like, you know, like, is Dweezil Zappa working for you, and that's why he made sure that the tour would come into Toronto on Bloomsday? No, that's pretty, like, what's more unlikely, that Dweezil Zappa's thinking of you, or that this happened by accident?
Right.
And, like, if Dweezil Zappa's thinking of you, then, like, that's got some bizarre implications, too, and the editor of the Toronto Sun at the same time.
Right, and all while you're looking intensely into Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we're talking about on the McCoolness more than we usually do.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of Lewis on there. But, so yeah, I guess I'm just saying that about the Xenocrates, and, although, so, okay, that just seems like something to say, so unless you got something to say to that, then we could try to pick up on that, what's up with these, what's up with this reptilian
right
thing that is being reported.
Yeah, it's just, unless you have something to say, Paul.
I probably did it one time, but I'm okay.
Okay, to sum up the Stang thing is that he definitely has a reality, and that reality, all the rest is put on, is that purple ain't allowed into my scene and anything connected to him, and you got your money sent back.
Yeah.
And that should tell you something, as Dr. Beter says.
Just one more thing to add. It basically, like, something I feel is, I wouldn't know how to say it, but it's like worth saying somehow to someone. I don't even know who. it could become that Ivan Stang finds that in the same way that the android meme is shrinking and shrinking, that the drama, it seems to come down to almost an AM versus AP thing.
Yeah.
With him, where it's like, well, really I'm leaning on, like, you know, human interaction and people that know me or something, and it's not about identifying with my statements of truth or
right.
Something. And that's kind of what his church is half about. But then I just feel like there might be a very real danger for that guy, Reverend Ivan Stang, if he's not already worried about this, that the whole AM side of what he represents might shrink down to only that one point. Bob Dean's Club.
That's right.
It really might. That might become the major defining thing of it.
I think it already is, and you hit it on the mark when you originally came on and said, years ago, the only one orthodoxy in this anti-orthodox church is Bob. You know, the attitude to Bob. That's what you pinned, and you later it unfolded and proved.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You said that. Now that this has been said, we can perhaps collectively decide that we've collectively achieved fact one, and we can begin on a consensus.
Well, you know, another fact is that Bob's actually the anti-Bob, the Bob that I'm talking to right now.
Yeah.
Include that.
In the book of the Subgenius, it says that an anti-Bob will come along, which is, you know, obviously a Christian kind of thing.
No problem. I definitely include that role.
Right. So you're the anti-Bob. Even by their own definition, I don't know why they're not like, look, this is what happened. That's what they should have did.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it either. That's one thing that I felt like I'd like to say. I don't know if there's an audience here, but, like, it's like, look, if this guy's not Bob Dobbs, then he's the anti-Bob. He's not some kook to forget about.
That's right. And
it's
so,
like, it's on that scale, whatever it is.
Right, and I'm the nub of the issue, because everything they do within the Android meme on there is a resistance to recognizing what we explained the first 15 minutes of this session on Site 1, the whole Xenocrony thing. They are fighting it. And it may be very hard for Americans to deal with that, because they got very strong, literate kinetic egos. Mm. The Canadians are a little more flexible, and that's why I play up this Canadian versus Americans, is the Canadians have a little more tactility in them, and they can get the Xenocrony that these guys just pretend is happening, but don't know it really is happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, because it really is that, just all, like, the Android meme really, really is making it very able to be thought of these great climactic, it really is what I thought all along. It's making that very possible.
Yes, yes. In everybody's context. I mean, why do you think these Islamo-fascist suicide bombers, the Android meme has made them think, yes, we are the center of the world. Our religion is it, and it's worth dying for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
You don't get why I bring that in?
I don't get why that's even happening. Like, I mean, we're advanced enough to know not to strap bombs to ourselves and walk into places. I mean, there's no reason to do that at all.
Yeah, but you're not recognizing that's an American condition response. These people are in different time zones.
Well, that's fine. I'm an American, so I should respond that way.
Right, right. But, well, you should and would, but we're trying to rise above that, at least to have a view of why things are happening. But right below that.
Right, I know why it's happening, but it doesn't matter. Whatever's causing it, we shouldn't be doing, and whatever's happening because of what's causing it shouldn't be happening either. It's just ridiculous, the whole thing's even going on.
Okay, well, we would jump into the Cocoon Quadrant. He says, well, you're using value judgments about the phenomena before you fully understand it. That's McLuhan's main beef.
How do you know I don't fully understand it? You thought, you know, Al-Qaeda attacked America. You don't know what...
Because you... because you think that... because you're pissed off at them.
I'm not pissed off.
Well, you're disgusted with them or saying we shouldn't act like that.
No, I mean, just in general, just common sense tells you not to do that. I mean, I could be a child and know not to do that. It's not rocket science. I mean, it's...
What do you mean? These guys are pushing us into a new level of awareness in the total ecology, which might bring in a better situation.
We don't need a new level of awareness. We need let the artists do that. We need to just
We need artists to do that.
Yeah, that's who does it.
Okay, well, when you're reading McLuhan, you're doing it sometimes. Remember, McLuhan is critiquing the artist meme all the time.
Yeah, I know what he's doing.
Okay, so that as an artist, in quotes, you have to argue with McLuhan about that then.
Right, I'm just, you know, wearing that banner right now, I guess. But.
Yes, you are. So let's go into you being a reptilian. So let me explain
that.
The
sightings of reptilians make for puzzling evidence that some people substitute some indignation for understanding by assuming it must be the enemy colonizing us.
Yes.
But, of course, it's at least part of my sensibility anyway, I'm sure lots of others, would be to just that it's probably not as simple as all that. But on the other hand, I don't want to tell people what they're seeing or feeling, so Bob, you brass is something to say about the reptilians.
Yes, so I would just say to what you just said, is that go ahead and tell what you think people might not want to hear, because no one's listening anyway, so you're free to express yourself. That's what all slack represents, total freedom of expression. And total voluntary needs, the desires to interact with whatever is being expressed in any way you want.
All that slack reminds me of the Wild West. You know, you do something someone doesn't like, they blow you right in the stomach.
Okay, well, anyways, I know I'm the ground to the goddamn phenomenon there, so I come in and post every now and then, and kook-a-doo-doo, or Bernie is wanted. Do you know what Bernie means? I'll tell you, when they call me Bernie, listening to their radio show, Synesthesia, what's his name, Dr. Sinister on Radio Synesthesia, Sunny Nights on the Cleveland University show, there's this guy comes in, he's totally pretty psychopathic, and he goes off, and he's called Bernie, and so whenever people come on, and they don't, you know, on all slack, whenever they think they want to put you down, they call you Bernie, which is what Stang said when I came on there, and he just finished, and I came on, and he realized it was me, and he went, Bernie, and hung up and ran. I'll tell you an interesting thing.
Okay.
I did have a shout-out with Stang on CKLN the first year I was on with Mike Dyer in the afternoon, and I went to my archives, and I have about 10 minutes of it.
Oh, yeah. Got to hear it.
Yeah, this is priceless, so someday that'll be available. Apparently, I wasn't home, so I had a timer, and it started early or something, so I didn't get the whole... say 20 minutes we were on CKLN, I must have got 5 to 10 minutes on. But it's got the essence, because Stang doing his stuff, or let's call him Doug doing his stupid Bob stuff, and me laying the laws of media down on him.
Did you record it on the internet, or?
No, this is back in April 13th, 1988.
Okay.
Taped off a radio station. So anyway, that we have one encounter there on tape. And that's after I'd been on the show almost a year, 10 months.
Yeah, I've been wanting to hear something like that for a while.
Right. So the reptilian image that Ikey popularized, let's look at it. I say it's a perfect icon. If you want to take my chart and take the quadrophenia in it and make it an icon, you'd have to come up with the chip body, the TV body, the astral body, and the chemical body. So you begin with the reptilian part. Now, people who take LSD and look at the TV screen, this used to be common in the 60s, they'd see the pixels form into like this amazing cobra. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's...
I've only ever really paid more attention to just watching the static and finding that I could see what I wanted to see.
When you're on acid.
Yeah, and yeah. Sometimes not, but...
Well, several people used to tell me in other places that they'd be watching the static because the LSD would make you see that. You'd go in and be watching the electrons. Hmm. But it was formed into this winding cobra or snake. We may have been seeing their own kundalini energy projected into the screen. So I say that the TV body, and especially if actually looked at, in the old color TV, you looked at the pixels, it actually looked like a snake skin. A colorful rattlesnake, multi-pixeled skin. So this snake aspect, or reptilian aspect of the TV body, is one part of the icon of the reptilians. Okay, the idea that they kind of look, the bug-eyed look, the UFO, bug-eyed look, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the standard image of the gray.
Yeah, with the big eyes.
Okay. Yeah, with the big eyes.
Looks like it's made of glass or something, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, slanted eyes, or I think they are. Anyways, the standard iconic eyes, to me, would be the insect quality of the chip body. So the you take the chip body.
Because the grays are generally thought of as not really having their own individual will so much.
And, right.
Yeah.
And the gray part is, Croker had an essay, someone saying that's just projection of the white race onto a saving species as the white race gets swallowed up in the global village. They're trying to find one last vestige of whiteness, so it's the grays. But taking, dropping that racial angle, I'd say the grays is the ectoplasm of the astral body. Okay? And then, how do we get the chemical body in there? The chemical body is probably the idea that they inject their abductees and draw out their sperm or their DNA and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying?
So you're kind of taking the grays and reptilians as being a big whole, in a way.
A big what?
A whole, like, or a single
icon.
Idea, a fused icon?
Yes, a fused icon of the four bodies.
Now, what if this is actually real? What do you suggest then, Bob?
I take the stand, I can't prove it, that the species of aliens that are below the Boodians, who are very advanced, and the ones that are responsible for bringing us into the contact with them and introducing us to the intergalactic, the one below them, which are so silly that the Boodians don't even acknowledge, they're the ones doing the cattle mutilations. And they're not killing people, but they're mutilating the cattle for some perverse reason. They're into the cattle. So I see that the grays and reptilians are approximating the lower species that are around compared to the Boodians. I mean, they're maybe more advanced than us in terms of interplanetary travel, but they aren't as involved as the Boodians, because Boodians can take on any form. So I see the Boodians...
Like shapeshifters?
Yes, yeah, they're shapeshifters. And so they... See, do people say reptilians are shapeshifters?
I don't know. I'm not...
That was one of the original kind of flags that went up in my mind, like saying, like, so was this ever not a paradox? Because if they're shapeshifters,
well,
you know that their main form is reptilian.
You would have to think they were shapeshifters, because if they look like us, but then they lose their resolution of that image that we see, you know, on a different frequency.
Yeah, like the queen, they can put on the human form.
But I don't know if they're actually shifting shape, or they're like changing their frequency so that we respond to different ways, since everything's
right.
Done on frequencies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, so the Boodians are benevolent, benign, smart, paranoid. The reason they will take, they will swoop at some car out in the country road that sees them, they want to see how the human will react, because they don't know how they're going to react. So they're kind of doing a little aggressive thing. They don't hurt them or anything, but just sort of, it's like throwing something at them to see how violently they react. If they don't act violent, then maybe they'll land, and then maybe they'll have some kind of interaction. So they're very careful, very ecological. They're smart, and they're responsible. Those are the ones I concentrate on, not the other ones. So I think that the people, the CIA promoted, the DIA, the Secret Council 10 spin-offs, they promoted Bill Cooper in the late 80s to create this paranoid, because they knew there were aliens. They didn't know what they were going to do, so they said, well, we got to protect people. We got to put out the meme, we're going to protect you. So they put out this frightening image, and that's the great reptilian image. And so that's another reason why Ike is popular. The top-down is, he's another extension of Bill Cooper, makes people frightened. But then the bottom-up reason, not controlled by bureaucratic intelligence agencies, is that it actually represents what my chart is showing, a fusion mosaic icon of the four bodies. And that is why it's such a rampant experience in people's dream life or astral projections or however they imagine they're contacting these things, assuming they're not true. It's a massive projection, and it's based on media dynamics laid out in my chart. So that's my statement on the reptilian image.
Have you noticed how most people have, like, and I guess the Indians would call these, this, like, the spirit animal that you see, you know, like, most people have characteristics of actual animals in their faces, you know, especially
yes.
sometimes the way they carry themselves, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But that's from evolution. We've got dinosaur and ape DNA in us.
Right, but do you see that when you see people? Like, I can
sometimes.
Usually tell what, yeah. Well,
I don't focus on it. I haven't seen too many animals lately. I'm a bit low on my animal acuity.
Well, for some reason, that enhances itself when you take LSD. So Brian
yeah,
may know
right.
what I'm talking about. So
well, that's probably yeah. getting into your reptilian brain. You know, the limbic,
really
the primitive brain.
I think it's also getting into it is getting into that brain, but I think it's getting that brain almost mixed up sometimes, maybe with the just satellite or post-satellite brain, where
yes,
where like instead of all of human culture, rather than just rational European culture, now with electricity, say all of human culture is in our milieu and is in our past. And is in our inheritance or something.
Yeah.
That, like, once the satellite goes up, it's more like all of nature is in our milieu, and our unconscious is now as much made up of all the different strategies of all of nature and animals and insects and everything than just humans. Cause
yeah, let me just throw...
All of first nature got fused into one thing inside a satellite shell.
Very good. Let me just supplement that. That's why the chart says in the bottom... And the bottom quadrant is the ground of the chart, 1960 to 1990. As the media and the android memes get smaller since 1960, it's hiking up the first nature cultural memories, like you just said, and it's bringing back the AP and all of what is in first nature in our baggage. That has been in heightened since 1960, and that's why people on LSD or any drugs, but maybe especially LSD, saw what you just said, the first nature projection. That were fused so they can flip back and forth.
And so the lizard brain, out of the, if first nature has all been squashed into a little ghetto,
yeah.
ghettoized, then the lizard brain would be the kind of, you know, freshly post-adolescent male thug kind of archetype within that, like the closest thing to that like vital force that can sort of rage back.
You mean like primal?
Yes, the reptilians become the first nature ghettoized icon.
In the paranoid quadrant.
Ah, in the conspiracy quadrant.
Yes. Raw primitive accumulation. I mean, that's what LaRouche is writing about. The oligarchs hijack the Earth's resources and they protect them and you can't get them.
Now, I haven't seen these things before, but a lot of people claim they have. Have either of you two seen anything like this, or you're like, that's odd?
I had a dream once before I heard about any of it, and what the part, it was a very strange and pretty profound kind of nightmare, and part of it, not the main part of it, was that a friend of mine and I had to spend some time with some people who, as we understood it kind of intuitively, were not evolved beyond the dinosaurs.
Right.
Their faces were, like, they were dressed as if they were very wealthy, but their faces were somehow indistinct or unseeable.
Yeah, you see that on the news a lot.
Huh.
I don't know, I'm like, look at these people, they look like they're aliens.
No, I get that a lot. I remember one of my times with All Dots Black where I something died in me or I half gave up on the whole thing was like when I said something about zombie aesthetics, maybe, I mentioned, and then Joe Cosby was like, kind of reacted hysterically to that, like it was a really like pompous or pink thing to say, oh, zombie aesthetics, what the fuck, and I'm like, zombie aesthetics, look at the cover of People magazine, look at the Jessica, I put it in quotes, like I didn't know who the fuck Jessica Simpson was, I don't pay attention to this stuff, but I'm like, look at Jessica on the cover of People, that's zombie aesthetics, you see her eyes? And
yeah.
like, and you know, the only response to that was someone was like, oh yeah, I'd like to zombie aesthetics her. Like, really? Like, you think that's attractive? I find that, like, scary.
But what's interesting is that you go on All Flack, and there's like about 10 people posting constantly, Zappanaz and everybody. They spend day in and day out just sitting there, reacting. They're probably blatantly addicted. Serious bad addiction going on.
There is a fair amount of that going on there, I guess.
Yeah, because...
Actually, that was probably one of the more successful retorts to, like, say, the disses of you was like one of the things that Stang said to me in this big long thing was like, maybe somewhere intelligent people agree we could all learn a thing or two from Bob Dean. He's like, Dean himself claims he gets many emails on the subject, but then he also claims he's Frank Zappa's new drummer. That's all he said. And it's like, but then what I pointed out later to Joe Cosby, I think it was to Joe Cosby, is that like there are plenty of subgeniuses that are into Bob, but they're all way too busy to be on all thought Slack. That's just how it goes. Like,
yeah,
you're here kidding yourself that like you can get a view on things that from here.
Yeah,
and
the
thought Slack is a clear window on the world.
Yeah, I like the way you corrected the. Doug on the whole distortion he had of the McLuhan events and all that stuff. I mean, really is blocking. Or he's willfully distorting it.
Well, he can block whatever he wants for himself, but the willful distortion was what annoyed me. That it's
yeah.
Like now you're here literally trying to spread, you're trying to make subgeniuses think something that just really isn't true, and like, as far as I can tell, he should know that's not true, so.
Right.
That's not cool. So,
yeah.
So that then now I'm justified to get on there and rant and annoy them.
That's all anybody can do there. Now so this you asked Paul about are people really getting abducted or something real? I say there's only in the 20th century only three or four people abducted as of 1988, and then a few more, one or two more in the 90s, and they're not telling anybody. So what are all these people experiencing? You can't deny that a lot of people are hallucinating. I met a woman in Mesquite in 99 who has a couple of kids that she's had with the aliens, and she leaves her body every now and then and visits them. And she said the best sex, and she was a sexy blonde. She'd been a nightclub singer, jazz singer, probably had many lovers, but she said she's been abstaining with any human sex for like 5 years. This was in 99. Because the sex with the aliens was so much better. And she had already and given birth as a result of it. Now, what the heck is she... What?
I'm just saying, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and now she's been on... She was back in the 90s. She'd be on Art Bell, and she was one of the most popular guests on Art Bell when she would get on and talk about this.
Wow.
So what is that person experiencing? Now, there's millions of factors. Pollution, toxicity, living in L.A., mental projections, not understanding the different bodies, not even knowing there are, all that can create pretty interesting mental projections that Freud, Jung, and Chomsky and Bateson haven't even touched on.
She can be hitting another percentage, too, of our perceptions. She could be hitting another frequency, another percentage.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what, remember McLuhan says, mediocology is frequency modulation.
Right, well, yeah.
And so we don't know what frequencies we're on. The chart is trying to show approximately the new periodic elements chart of the frequencies we're on, in, beside, above and below. But that says nothing.
The new periodic element, are you talking about that guy in that movement that I was talking about that one time?
No, I'm talking about Mendeleev's famous chart of the periodic elements in 1880s when he made it. It's a basic map for chemistry.
Okay. Remember the one that we were looking at? Well, we don't have to bring it in, but that's fine.
We were looking at one?
Yeah, what, Midnight Club? Is that what that was called? Twilight Club? Remember that? Walt Whitman was in it, and there was another physicist that was in it, and he has a very interesting...
And there was a chart.
Yeah, and you said, this guy's got charts too, like me. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
That was months ago, so you probably...
You have to remind me that. I forgot that.
Yeah.
But you know, we're dealing with...
I didn't know if you were referring to that, like you actually looked into it, but you're referring to the one that we go by every day.
Yeah, in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that my chart, I'm seriously presenting, is that that is the new chemistry, the new biology, the new physics, the new whatever you need to do. And remember, when you look at the chart, that chart happens in a split second. That's a split second. Okay. But
a single unit of moment of our culture?
It's the whole culture, and that's all that exists, is one moment, because everything's disappeared. So I put it on a piece of paper to slow it down, visualize and categorize, but it's just a quark tune, a quark moment. And that's the only moment we have. And that's what kids are trained to operate in.
In the moment?
No, that's an ideology, but they're trained to work within something that cannot get stable. So when McLuhan started to talk about this in the 60s, he says, he said the Greeks lived visual space but thought mythically. In other words, they were thinking rearview mirror. He says the kids today live mythically but think 19th century. And thinking 19th century is dealing with all the specialized categories that we have in knowledge. And that's the information knowledge economy. And so for the last 40, 50 years, the boomers, the Generation X, and the Morpheus generation have been making economic livelihood working with 19th century categories. But they live mythically. Now, you could take myth as meaning false, fake, doesn't exist. That's one half of the meaning. And the other is that myth is an encapsulation of a whole process, an instant pattern. Mm-hmm. So look at what he means by the word mythically. But everything that came after about virtual reality and it's not here and the Matrix, that's what he meant and included in the word mythic. And you'll notice mythic government is in the Croker quadrant. Mm-hmm. After that comes lockdown, drops down. But the interesting thing is when you talk about staying being in between the AM and the AP, and you've seen me post it on the McLuhan site, the AM/AP, that's exactly this tactile interplay that we've been stuck in since 1960.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you said you did post, I don't know where else you posted it, but on Slack anyway, at one point you said, okay, finally I'm going to bestow on you, you deserve it, the tetrad on the Church of the Subgenius.
Did I do it?
Yeah, you did. But what you did was it was a bit. It was almost evasive, but it was also almost very high praise, because what you said was that it enhanced, and you had a link to LaRouche's site.
Right.
It obsolesced, a link to McLuhan's study. It retrieved, you had a link to Thompson's site, and it flips into, and you had a link to C theory.
Right.
So
that's
kind of like you didn't even put in anything other than just it is somehow in the interval halfway detached from the four quadrants.
Right. And it is in the Croker quadrant, because that's where you'll see Bob Dobbs, the small Bob Dobbs underneath Bob Dean, Bob Marshall, Bob Neverett, and then Bob Dobbs, right? And then Rumpelstiltskin. Because the whole image that comes out of the Church of Subgenius is symptomatic of